If you would, to two places, 1 John chapter number 3, 1 John chapter number 3, Revelation chapter number 1. Basically going to be dealing with Revelation chapter number 1 this morning. But I did want to read a couple verses in chapter 3 of 1 John. First John chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 1. Keep your Bibles open to Revelation chapter 1 as we go through. But beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3 of 1 John, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because why? It knew him not." Now, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people think we're foolish by just gathering in here this morning. Sometimes we pray to a God that they can't see. We talk about a Christ that they don't understand. We talk about having joy when we're going through rough times. We talk about one that we can hold on to. One that is a comfort that's with us. We talk about times when he speaks to us. And to be honest with you, the world would have us locked up if they thought they'd get by with it. Jesus said, not for us not to be surprised, the world hated him, they're going to hate us too. Being saved and being a Christian is a unique thing. The world doesn't understand us because it doesn't understand him. Doesn't know us because it doesn't know him. Verse number 2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." Look, if you would, in chapter 1 of Revelation. Now, Revelation, we know that it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. And some people think that, I've heard some, had a lot of lost people throughout the years say, "Well, I'd love to hear you teach on Revelation." I hate to break this to them, but they'll never fully understand and comprehend Revelation until they know Jesus. Until they get to know Jesus, this book is telling us how we are blessed. It's not really written to send comfort and things to the lost, but it's to those who are saved. And it reveals Jesus and how Jesus, not only was he in the world, but he conquered the world. Therefore, he tells us, "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." And our faith is what helps us overcome the world. So in verse number 1, it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw." Now notice that next word, "blessed." That's talking to those of us who are saved. "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. So here he reveals to us who he is, and he also reveals to us what his plans are. Now let me say this. God has revealed Jesus from Genesis all the way through Revelation. Revelation is not just the only book to reveal Jesus. Every book in the Bible reveals Jesus. And it shows us things and truths about him. God, the Bible teaches us, is revealed to all men through nature. Now listen. Evolution is a direct rejection of God. You got that? God is the creator. He is the designer. He's the one that has coordinated all things to work together. He's been perfect. It's all done in an order fashion upon his will. He spoke and it came into existence. Somebody said, I'm going to try to mix the two of those. Can't mix the two of them. Either in the beginning was God, and in the beginning was the Word was God, and therefore everything that was made by him. And therefore we either believe that he is a creator. We look out Psalms 19, the Bible says, the stars, the heavens, they portray the handiwork of God. The Bible says when we look around, look up into the heavens, see the stars, the sun, the moon, the earth, all those things, it all lets us know there's a God. Then the Bible also says that we are to reveal Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel. So if lost people are going to be saved, they are being brought to the knowledge of God through his handiwork and through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that Satan is busy trying to blind people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But here, this book of Revelation is a revelation to us. What it does is it reminds us where we were and reminds us where he brought us to and where we're going to end up. I'm glad when Brother Porter was singing that song a while ago, I was thinking, you go to the end of this book, it tells you where you're going to end up if you're saved. I'm going to see the walls of jasper. I'm going to see the gates of pearl. I'm going to see the streets of gold. I'm going to see Jesus. Amen? And so therefore, what I know is I know from the Word of God. So what happens in this book of Revelation is he reveals several things that's going to take place. He lets us know that we're blessed. To be blessed is to be able to have a joy that's not a natural joy. It's to be able to be happy and blessed when things aren't going well. And by the way, toward the end of the world and toward time of him coming for the church and the saints, things aren't going to be real well. The Bible says evil man is going to wax worse and worse. And the Bible says that there's going to be all kinds of issues going on. And we've gone over all those many times. And so it would be easy time for those of us who are saved to be depressed. But this book here helps us look up and be blessed. You know why? What he does at the end of this book is he reveals those who have rejected God where they enter into eternity. And he also has revealed where those of us who have been saved, where we enter into eternity. Chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, has the lost, John said, and I saw a great white throne, him who sat upon it, from whose face the heaven and earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. And he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, the Bible goes on and tells us that all those people that are dead, lost, is going to be brought before God. And the Bible says the sea gave up the dead that was in them. Death and hell delivered the dead of them. They were judged according to those things written in books. And then verse 14 says, death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death. Verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So I tell you what, you want to continue on rejecting God? I can tell you where you're going to end up when everything's done. The Bible presents those who rejects God, those who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, those won't bow to his submission, those won't trust in his finished work upon the cross of Calvary. Chapter 20, verses 11 through 15 paints a picture of where you're going to end up. That's a second death. That's where you'll have a separation from God, and you will go into a place that's been prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, then you go over to the next chapter, chapter 21, and John said, and I saw a new heaven, new earth. And then he begins to describe things in a new heaven, new earth. That's where the song that Brother Porter was singing about, that's where those who are saved, that once we were sinners, now we have been made the sons of God. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power, it becomes the sons of God. And now we have looked forward to when we finish up our job as far as living upon this earth, when we die, when we go through the process the book of Revelation describes, when we enter into eternity, we will enter into a place called heaven. Amen. A place where we'll no longer know any more pain, agony, sorrow, no more death, no more parting. You say, preacher, that sounds like a fairy tale. I didn't write it. I read it. And I'm blessed because of what's been written here. Not because of me. I know where it's done told me where I was when he found me. I was lost and undone, undeserving. What did he do? By his grace, he brought me into the family of God. Now he has made me where one day I will reign with him and I will be a child of God forever. Thank God, thank God. I'm a child of the King. Amen. What a wonderful thing. No wonder we are blessed. Now look back just a moment and understand that the Bible says that we're going to be made princes and kings. We read that there in verse number 5. But turn back, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, look, if you would, in verse number 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were disappointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now has attained mercy. Amen. Look, if you would, in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, in verse number 10. It says, and it hath made us unto our God, what? Kings and priests, and we shall what? We shall reign upon the earth. Look, if you would, in chapter 20 real quickly, in verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death has no power. The second death I was talking about earlier was where those were cast in the lake of fire. But they shall be what? Priest of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, think about this just a moment. The Bible tells us, turn back if you would, chapter 1. The Bible tells us that Jesus, if you look back, that he, in verse number 3, or verse number 4, it says, grace be unto you and peace from him that is and was and is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now, if you go back to Isaiah 11, verse 1 and 2, you'll find those seven spirits. It's a spirit of Lord. And see, Jesus had the fullness of the Spirit with him. Now, get this a minute. I want you to get this moment, because I'll finish up here in a little bit, but I want you to get this. Most people don't understand. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 1 that we have been given the earnest of the Spirit. Now, what that means is when we got saved, the Spirit of God come to live within us. Now, when he come to live within us, the Bible says our body has been made the temple of the Lord. His Spirit lives within us. Now, once he did that, our spiritual lives, we became a battleground. A battleground between the old flesh that we served for so long. And now we have our Spirit of God living within us that has born us again of the Spirit, and our spirit has been made alive. Our soul, everything about our emotions, our affections, our thoughts, all the things that goes within us is being pulled by our spirit and by our flesh. The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. They are contrary to one another, and they always will be, by the way. Now, I said that to say this, that the Spirit of God lives within us. Now, sometimes we submit to the Spirit, and God just moves in us, and sometimes we just feel like, sometimes we get so full of God, it just feels like we're about to bust. Sometimes it just feels so real that we just feel like we're going to be taken up to heaven. And man, it feels good when you get in a service, and God just pours out, and you just get alone with God, and God just tears things up. And it's wonderful when you ever are able to get alone with him. Then there's times when we seem like the dirtiest, rotten sinner there is, even after we've been saved. Man, we've given in to the flesh, and we feel so dirty and rotten, and we're ashamed. But you see, Jesus had the fullness of the Spirit. He never felt like that with the flesh, because there was no sin dwelt in him. But with us, we have the old sinful flesh. And so sometimes when we should be rejoicing, like this morning, I'll be honest with you. This morning, if we had the fullness of the Spirit, this roof would felt like it was going up and coming down when we were singing. And man, we'd be crying and praising God, and we'd be, and I couldn't even preach a sermon for somebody wanting to jump up and say, I just want to give him praise. Why don't we have that kind of service? We got too much flesh. But Jesus didn't have that. Jesus had all the fullness of the Spirit. Now, I'll get to my point here in a moment. Now, one of these days, we're going to have it. Right now, the Bible says we've been given an earnest of his Spirit. That means we've been given a down payment. Any of you ever buy a car? You go to a car, the first thing they want you to do is, you got a down payment? You want to buy a house, you got to have a down payment. And so down payment is part of what you're going to get, what you're going to pay for the house, part of what you're going to pay for the car. God's give you part of what you're going to have in heaven. When you get up in heaven, you're going to have the fullness of the Spirit. When you have the fullness of the Spirit, never an evil thought. Never a distraction from worship. Not being ashamed of anything you say or do. We're going to lift our voices. We're going to praise the Lamb of God. And man, we're just going to have us time. Amen. Somebody said, I'm afraid I won't fit in up there. You will when you get the fullness of the Spirit. Right here we have the earnest of a Spirit. Now let me show you the turn if you would to Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 1 and 2. You'll find the seven spirits that Jesus was full of. I'm not going to spend much time with this. I just want to bring a point out. The first thing, he was full of the Spirit of the Lord. Now, like I said, we have a down payment of that Spirit. Earnest. We have a portion of what we're going to be. The Bible says we don't yet know what he will be, but we know this, when we see him, we shall be what? We're going to be like him. When God's through with us, we're going to be full of God and empty of ourselves. Amen? We're going to have a whole different attitude when we get to heaven.
Amen?
Amen? You think worship here, even on our best worship, and we've had, throughout the years, I've seen some good services we've had here. Then I've seen some bad ones. But I'll tell you this, none of it even pales in comparison to what it's going to be like up there. Now, notice if you would, in Isaiah, it talks about these seven spirits, verse number 1-2. The Spirit of the Lord we talked about. The next spirit is, and they come in pairs, is wisdom. Right? Jesus has perfect wisdom. To have wisdom is to understand something completely. Man, they try to trap him, and Jesus had perfect wisdom. And he'd make them look like fools. We have a portion of the wisdom we will be. Some people takes that verse over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and it tries to make it apply. It says that we will know as we are known. And it tries to make it apply that we'll know each other as we know. And I think we will have our personalities, but that's not what it's talking about there. What it's talking about there is that we will have a heavenly understanding. We will have an enlightenment. We will have perfect wisdom. Here, we know certain things, but we know them with a limitation. I mean, I look out, and the world don't surprise me because I understand what the world is. I understand because God's Word has told me. So, because I've been saved, His Holy Spirit has taught me to look, and when I see the world, to recognize sort of what the world is. So, I'm not shocked. Regardless of what the world does. Right? You understand? Somebody said, man, can you believe what's happening? Sure. He done told me it was going to happen. Why should it shock me? And what's happened through his word, and the Bible says, if any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, he gives it to us liberally. So therefore, what we have to do is we gain wisdom. Now, not only is it a spirit of wisdom, it's also the spirit of what? Understanding, right? Now, understanding is not only understanding what it is, but how it works and why it works. So now, God, since I've been saved, and as I've grown in wisdom and understanding, I not only now understand what the world is, what my flesh is, and by the way, when I was young, I blamed a lot of things on the devil. That as I've grown in the Lord, I figured out it wasn't the devil at all, it was me. This devil. This flesh. And so what happens is, the more that I get to know God, and the more I grow in the Lord, the more I grow in His Word, the more I understand me, my flesh, more I understand the world, more I understand the devil, more I understand you. And by the way, when you grow in that, when you really see yourself for who you are, you really don't have a lot of room to judge somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? Because what happens is, if you really see Paul, and by the way, I hate to be compared with Paul. And when he saw himself, he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. And man, if he was chief of sinners, where does that leave me? And so my point is, Jesus was full of understanding. He understood everything, what it was, why it was, how it worked. He was perfectly in his knowledge. Someday we'll have the fullness of the Spirit, but we don't have it right now. Then you look, what's the next thing on the list? Counsel. His name is Wonderful. Counselor. No one has better counsel than the Lord. We get in the Bible, you can't find better counsel than the Bible. And so the Bible tells us perfect counsel. And Jesus was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. He is the counselor. He knows. You say, preacher, I don't know what to do here. Well, why don't you talk to Jesus? He can show you. There's no greater counselor. Now, since I've been saved, I've gained a little bit, and I can counsel people a little bit better. But there's still limitations to what I can do. But Jesus had the answer for everything. You know why? He was full of the spirit of counsel. And then what's the next thing? Might. The power to carry those things out. We not only have the power to understand and counsel and know what's best, but he has also given those of us who are saved the power to perform that. We have the power. I can do all things through Jesus Christ. That strengthened me. So therefore, we have the power within us to do what we need to do. Not only that, but also the power of knowledge, right? And so, therefore, by the way, did it ever occur to you, nothing never snuck up on Jesus? Nothing ever caught him by surprise? The Bible says he knew the end from the beginning. And if you've not studied it, I preach a message sometimes, and I know if you've not studied it, you'll think this is weird. But if you study the book of life, what you'll find in the book of life, there is 13 to 14 references of the book of life in the Bible. And by the way, anything that you want to attribute to the book of life that's not in there, you attribute it from somebody else. He has 13 to 14 verses that refers to what the book of life is. Never ever does the book of life ever have anybody's name added to it. It's always taken out of it. Four places in the Bible it talks about having your name blotted out of the book of life. Now let me say this. When you study it, what you find is there's a book that was from the foundation of the world. And God knew the end from the beginning. And every single soul that was ever born was written in the book. Then. Everyone who would ever have life was in the book of life. No one's name's ever added to it. I know we sing that song, He Wrote My Name, show me in the Bible. Everywhere you find the Bible says, when Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, rejoice because your names are written in the book, it's past tense. Always past tense. So therefore, what you need to understand, you say, What if they are marked out? They can't be once you're saved by the blood. You have eternal life. You can't die. That's why Jesus told Martha. He said, I'm the resurrection life. You believe on me, you should never die. Why do we never die? Because we all are always in the book of life. Now, listen, stay with me a minute. My point is this. He knew the end from the beginning. Now put that in your pipe and smoke it. Well, don't smoke pipe. I'm not trying to encourage you to do that. But look here. My point is that God knew everything. He is full of knowledge. Now, let me say this in case you question what I just said. Go to Psalms 139 sometimes and read what he told David. And David said, while I was being made in substance, I was already written in his book. My limbs, my members was already written in his book. While I was being made, while I was nothing but a substance, I wasn't even a baby. I was a substance, I was being made, and he already had me written in it. You know why? He's full of knowledge. Now those of us who are saved, we know some things, but we don't hardly know that much. But when we get to fullness of spirit, man, we're going to know some things when we get to heaven. We're going to know like we're known in heaven, like they know now. We're going to know that way. Amen? Now, the last one is what? Huh? I didn't hear you. The fear of the Lord. And you know, the fear of the Lord is in the Old Testament a lot of times, but it's talking about the Bible. Now, let me say this, and I'm going to close, but I want you to turn two places with me in Revelation. I'm going to close. Look, if you would, in chapter 4, real quickly. Now let me say this, the Bible has predicted that Jesus is coming again. We just read that in chapter 1, that we are looking forward to his coming. Now even the book of Jude tells us that Enoch that was way back there in Genesis, he preached that the Lord was coming to execute his judgment. And 10,000 of his saints was coming with him. So this is nothing new. Jesus also in Matthew 24:30 told us that the Son of God was coming. And he was coming in the clouds of glory. But look if you would in chapter 4 and verse number 1. Those of us who are saved, the next event on our calendar is this. After this, the chapter 2 and 3 reveals the church and the church age and what happens in the church age. After this, I looked up, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it was a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one who sat upon the throne. Now, he describes what the rapture is going to be, the catching away is going to be. Immediately we're going to hear a trump of God, and we're going to be gone. Now, during that time, we've got some things going on in heaven. We was teaching on that this morning in Sunday school. But look, if you would, in Revelation chapter number 19. I'm going to close right here, but I want you to get there real quickly. Then all the things that's going to take place on the earth, and then after we have been through the judgment seat of Christ, we've been through the marriage of the Lamb, we come back as his bride. Look in chapter 19, verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice. This is the first time the church has spoke again after we leave it in chapter 3 and chapter 4 when it's caught up. He says, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation, glory, honor, power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are the judgments. And he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth in her fornication, hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat upon the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And the voice came out of the throne, saying, praise our God, all ye servants and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude, and a voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. Her wife has made herself ready, and to her was granted she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are true and faithful. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he saith unto me, see thou do it not. I am a fellow servant and thy brethren, for that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. And then he sees a door open and the Lord coming back on his white horse and those that are his saints coming with him. Now listen to me. I just want to close with this thought. I kind of ran out of time chasing a few rabbits this morning, but I want you to get this. That we have been truly blessed to understand that we have a future ahead of us is this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul reveals to us that we are not to be ignorant concerning those which sleep in the Lord. For Jesus is going to come back. That's the next thing we're looking for. There's going to be a shout, a trump, and those the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those which are alive shall be changed, caught up together, twinkle of an eye, Corinthians says, and we're going to meet together in the air. We're going to go through the things we do, and the tribulation is going to go through here, then we're going to come back with him after the tribulation is over with. But we have looking forward to the rapture, then the revelation of Jesus. And when he comes and all the world sees him, we will be with him. We will be there to reign with him. We will be there his bride. We will be there in his glory. Folks, no wonder it says if you read this book, you'd be blessed. Man, and it's not to the lost. They're not blessed. This book is not for them. It's to bless us. Because we can see where we're headed. And so whatever we go through down here is well worth it. Just to know what he has waiting for us when it's all said and done. Amen. Pretty good life. As the young people sung this morning, I have been blessed. Amen. Stand, if you would. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. Oh, dear friend, you say, well, I don't know whether Jesus is coming. I don't understand.
But you do believe this, don't you? Someday, somewhere, and you don't know when, you don't know where, you're going to have to leave this world. Oh, dear friend, the book done tells us where you're going to end up if you leave there without Christ. Today, if the Holy Spirit of God is drawing you to come, you ought to come. Would you do that? Maybe you're here and you're saved, and God spoke to your heart about something you need to just come. Would you obey Him this morning as we sing, Brother Porter?